Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Today we are celebrating, honoring, and thanking our moms. And I want to send out a special greeting to my mom, Betty Massaro, who's probably watching with us this morning from Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Mom, thank you for encouraging me in my walk with the Lord, for having me read missionary biographies when I was a boy, for showing me how to serve the Lord, how to love people, how to show hospitality. You've done so much and continue to encourage our family, and I'd like to say thank you, and I love you, Mom. We're taking a break this morning from our sermon series, Got Hope, from the book of 1 Peter. And my message today is about an exceptional woman of the word, Priscilla. She and her husband, Aquila, appear a number of times in Paul's books in the New Testament. We're going to read those passages, and we're going to see the special character qualities of this great woman of the word. Scripture doesn't really mention her family, so I can't tell you if she had any children or what kind of mom she was, but she was certainly a faithful Christian that we can all learn from. Women who are not mothers, and men who are also not mothers, please don't check out at this point. Stay with me through this message because we're going to see a godly woman and her husband serving the Lord faithfully. And these are things that we can learn from. Let's pray before we read God's word together. And if you want to get ready, you can turn to Acts chapter 18. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can come together and worship you throughout the world. Churches are gathering online. Some are either even beginning to gather in person. And Lord, we look forward to that day. We ask your blessing on those who are making the decisions about our safety, for those who are continuing to work on the front lines and caring for people who are sick. And Lord, I just pray that today as we honor you, we also honor the mothers that you gave us. Thank you for creating the family, for creating mothers and fathers to raise us, not only to know you, but to be prepared to be part of a society. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the moms that are here with us today and for those that are not with us, for those that we're looking forward to seeing again in glory. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, I pray that you'd help us to have our hearts tender, to be looking and listening for where you're encouraging us to grow and where you're showing us to continue to be faithful. We thank you for all these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So I'm going to read for you all of Acts chapter 18 because it tells a story about the Apostle Paul, and you're going to hear Priscilla and Aquila's name come up a number of times. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a unified attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things. And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. I'm on chapter 8, verse 18 now. After this, Paul stayed many days longer, and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down into Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly hoped those through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. So we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter, and I'm just going to reread those first couple of verses. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. First of all, we see that Priscilla was a faithful spouse. I want to point out a few things to you on this map behind me. First of all, Priscilla and Aquila were Jewish, and they were from Pontus, which is up here in northern Asia Minor. From there, they moved all the way to Italy, which is just off the map. And then we read that because Claudius expelled the Jews from Rome, they moved on to Corinth over on the far left side. And that's where they met the Apostle Paul. Somewhere in this chapter, they must have become believers after getting to know the Apostle Paul. And it says that they went with Paul on the rest of his missionary journey. This is his third journey, and you can see in the red lines, they left Corinth, went all the way up to Berea, to the north, to Philippi, and then they ended up here in Ephesus, and that's where Paul asked them to stay while he went on and visited some additional cities. Priscilla was a faithful spouse. She moved with her husband from Pontus to Italy, probably for work. And then when they were expelled, they moved on to Corinth and then many more cities as they traveled with the Apostle Paul. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that God created man and then he created woman to be a help and a complement to him so that when a man and a woman are married, they become one and they can accomplish so much more together. We see that Priscilla was with her husband through all of these things. She served with him, she worked with him, and she was faithful. I'm so thankful for a faithful wife. Cindy, my wife, lived in the same home in Hohokus, New Jersey, from the time she was infant all the way up through college to being an adult. She married me when I was a corporate marketing manager with a hopefully bright and very stable future. But then the Lord called me into full-time ministry. We left the United States. We left for the country of Ireland. We sold our homes, we sold our cars, we left all of our family behind to go serve the Lord. And after a year and a half returning to the U.S., we were here for long enough for our daughter Grace to be born in New Jersey. But then God had a new place for us, and we moved out to the Midwest, where we served the Lord for 7 years. Again, leaving family behind. We're about 14-hour drive from any family. And then the Lord took us down to Princeton in southern Indiana, a very rural area. We were there serving in a church for 10 years. And now here we are in balmy western New York, where on Mother's Day it's snowing. The Lord has been faithful in going all these places with us, but Cindy has been faithful. All of these moves are hard on a spouse. They're hard on our kids. They're hard on families. And I'm just so thankful that Cindy has stuck by my side, encouraging me, and is part of ministry alongside of me through all of these things. Priscilla was a tent maker, like her husband. This was not easy work. Tents were typically made of woven goat hair or of leather. The people of this early day usually traveled on foot, unless they were wealthy enough to have a horse or a wagon. So people had relatively small tents, kind of like what we'd think about a backpacking tent. So tents were pretty common. And Priscilla and Aquila made tents. But as we see that they moved to Rome and then moved around the Roman Empire, the Roman army was actually the largest market for tents. And this picture behind me shows a Roman army goatskin tent. This comes from diagrams, and a number of men would live in that tent. A single tent would take 750 hours to complete. That would be 30 12-hour days for a couple like Priscilla and Aquila. Anywhere that you went throughout the Roman Empire, there would be soldiers, there would be the army, and there would be people in demand for tents. And that's probably why this was something that appealed to the Apostle Paul. It was a good side business that he could do no matter where he was, and he could help support his ministry. Today we call that being a tent maker. So people that are serving the Lord and have another job are tent making. Priscilla wasn't afraid of hard work. She didn't have a fancy sewing machine. She was doing all of this work by hand. She probably had no servants taking care of her husband and her. Weaving and leather work were difficult labor. Today, not every mom can stay at home. Many are busy all day long at work and then busy all night at home caring for their families as well. I'd like to just say thank you to my mom and thank you to all the moms who are hard workers and care for their families. Well, let's look on to the next place where we see Priscilla and Aquila in verses 18 and 19. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. First of all, we see a really interesting thing. Priscilla's name is mentioned first. When we first meet them, Paul is meeting Aquila and his wife Priscilla. And now it says Priscilla and Aquila went with him. And throughout almost every additional scripture after this, her name is listed first. That's uncommon even for today, where we would typically say Mr. and Mrs. And especially back in the first century, for a woman's name to be listed and mentioned before her husband was really indicating how much Paul valued Priscilla and honored her. Jesus Christ, when he served here on the earth and lived here, really cared about the women who were part of his ministry. He honored them in a time when women were typically overlooked. Priscilla was faithful in ministry. We also see that Priscilla was submitting to authority. The people of Ephesus wanted Paul to stay longer, but he needed to go on to Caesarea, to Antioch. He knew that there were additional cities and additional new believers that needed to hear from him. And he asked Priscilla and Aquila to stay behind, to continue to work there, to continue to serve the Lord there. They had uprooted their lives. They left Ephesus. They went from Corinth to Ephesus, and now they were being left behind. There's so many people who want to be up front in ministry. They want people to notice them. They want to be in the middle of everything. Priscilla and her husband were content to do exactly what the Apostle Paul and the Lord needed and asked of them. She submitted to Paul's authority. She submitted to the Lord's authority and continued to be a blessing to the church in Ephesus. Let's move on down to verses 24 and 26. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. When Apollos came to Ephesus to preach the gospel, Priscilla and Aquila heard something missing. He talked about salvation. He talked about Jesus Christ. But when he talked about baptism, he was still talking about the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance. If you remember, John was there and he said, "I'm here to prepare the way for the Lord." And as Christ's ministry increased, John's ministry decreased. John was baptizing unbelievers and saying, "Repent, for the Lord is coming, the Messiah is coming." This is what Apollos was talking about. He wasn't talking about believers' baptism, which is an outward demonstration of your faith. It's a clear indication to your community, to your church, that you're joining in, you're becoming one with that church. What did Priscilla and Aquila do when they heard this learned man, this eloquent speaker, preaching in a way that was true and honest, but it wasn't accurate for what had happened in the way that baptism changed? Scripture tells us that they took him aside privately. They talked to him. Instead of embarrassing him in front of the church, instead of embarrassing him in front of other people, instead of showing off how much they knew and how little this great man knew, they quietly took him aside. And Scripture says that they taught him the way of God, explaining their faith more accurately. They helped Apollos grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And they did it in a loving, compassionate way. Matthew 28 is sometimes called the Great Commission, when Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Lord and teaching them to observe all things." That's exactly what Priscilla did here. She helped disciple Apollos in God's word, even though he already had the position of being an evangelist, a preacher. Discipling people, helping them grow to be more like Jesus Christ, helping them to understand God's word is exactly what we're all about as a church. And from there, Apollos went on to do great things, to powerfully preach the gospel and to accurately talk about baptism. And it was because of Priscilla and her husband humbly teaching him. There are so many moms throughout the world that are faithful Sunday school teachers. You're involved in Bible studies. You're leading people to know the Lord as Savior, and many of you leading your children in their faith. Being a teacher, being a mom, includes discipling people. Spending hours on your lesson only to have a group of rowdy kids disturb it can be frustrating and it can be hard to deal with. But because of you, moms, because of your faithfulness, there are young boys and girls, there are young men and women, there are people all around the world who in heaven someday will walk up to you and say, "Thank you so much for leading me to know Jesus Christ. Thank you for faithfully teaching me." And I'd like to say thank you to my mom, to my sister, for taking time and making sure that I knew the Lord, that I had confessed my sins, and I had come to a knowledge of him. Thank you for your faithfulness. Well, we're going to depart from the book of Acts for a moment and turn over to Romans chapter 16. We pick up Priscilla and Aquila again, but in a different way. Romans 16, verses 3 to 5. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. First of all, we see a different spelling of her name. It says Prisca. And as I did a little more studying about this, obviously it's the same person because it's Prisca and Aquila. But Priscilla, adding the I-L-L-A, is kind of like a pet name. It's kind of like saying Johnny for John or Tommy for Tom. So Priscilla is the same person. And again, her name is listed first. The Apostle Paul says, thank you for risking your lives for me. We don't know from Scripture what event this was, but apparently Priscilla and Aquila laid down their own lives in a way that could have put them in grave danger just to save the Apostle Paul, to protect him. The Gentile churches throughout the area also knew about this, and they greatly appreciated it because they realized that without Priscilla and Aquila being willing to risk their lives, the Apostle Paul couldn't have come to them, couldn't have brought them the gospel. Priscilla's devotion to the Lord was not only when it was convenient. She and her husband were willing to die for the sake of the gospel. In Philippians, Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 29, that there would be some who would suffer for Christ's sake, just as Jesus Christ suffered for us and died for us to be saved. Priscilla and Aquila were not only loyal to the Apostle Paul, they were loyal to Jesus Christ. I want to have that kind of loyalty too. How about you? Whether it's a matter of your time, your finances, your reputation, maybe even your safety, or your convenience and your desires, are you willing to lay these things all down for the sake of the gospel, for serving Jesus Christ? I know that there are some of you that have been studying the book of Revelation lately. As all of the things in our world are happening, a lot of people are turning there and saying, what's going to happen next? In chapter 3, the church in Laodicea was warned against being lukewarm. Christ said, you're neither hot nor cold. You're just lukewarm. And he called them to be zealous again, to be excited about their faith, to be serving in a way that meant something to them. That's my call to all of us. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's not be blasé or just indifferent to church. We want to be all in. We want to be excited and willing to take some risks, just like we saw Priscilla and Aquila. Moms are known for being willing to give up a lot of things for their kids. They're often fiercely loyal to their families. Some moms temporarily put careers on hold while they care for their kids at home. Some give up spending money on themselves just so that their kids can be part of a music program or part of a sport where there's travel involved. Mom's car is often known as mom's taxi because moms are faithfully driving their kids all around town, sometimes even out of town, for all of their special events. Most moms continue to show love and patience, to show kindness when dads have run out long before. Moms do all these things without waiting for a thank you, without waiting for recognition. Well, today is one of the days that we stop and we recognize you. Thank you, moms. Thank you for being great examples of God's love, his mercy, his kindness, and his grace for all of us to see. Turning over to the end of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16 and verse 19, we hear Aquila and Priscilla again. As Paul is closing his letter with a greeting, as he often does, he says, the churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. the first time they met Paul. Aquila and Priscilla took him in and provided not only a place for him to work, but a place for him to live. Both of these passages that we just read mention the church in their home. Aquila and Priscilla opened their very own home for a place for meeting for the church. Not only was this showing hospitality and welcoming possible strangers into their home, but it was also something dangerous to do when the church was often hidden underground in so many of the cities. Christians were being persecuted. And again, Priscilla and Aquila were willing to risk their lives for the sake of the gospel. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about the outward indicators of a true Christian. And in verse 13 in particular, he said, "Look for opportunities to show hospitality." This also indicates how much Aquila and Priscilla cared about the other churches and the believers, because Paul was sending greetings from them to the church in Corinth. They're most likely not only caring about them, but praying for them regularly. Moms, as you show hospitality, as you serve in ministry, many of you open your homes for things like growth groups and Bible studies. You have people over, and it shows that you care about them. Recognizing that everything we have from God is a gift, including our homes, they should be used to serve the Lord. Moms that are quick to have the neighborhood kids come in to play, or to have a friend from school come over, not only have the benefit of being able to get to know their children's friends better, but they can keep tabs on their own kids. It's a great way to show God's love and hospitality for people in your neighborhood, for your children's friends to know that they're always welcome in your doors. Being known for a home where there's a meal, a snack ready, and a welcoming is something special. I really appreciate those of you that host our growth groups. Whether you're leading the group or hosting it with your home, it's a way of showing a testimony of Christ's love. In 2 Timothy 4:19, and this is our last passage, Paul ends this letter to Timothy saying, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." Timothy was sent to Ephesus, the place where Priscilla and Aquila were left by the Apostle Paul. Timothy was sent to be the pastor. And as Paul was writing his very last letter before he died, he remembered again Prisca, Priscilla. And he remembered her husband, who were serving faithfully in the church there in Ephesus. As Paul sat in a Roman prison with guards waiting for his own execution, for his trial, he remembered and honored Priscilla and Aquila for their faithful ministry. He honored them for their friendship and for loving them. This great woman of the word was faithful to the end and truly served not only the Apostle Paul, but the Lord Jesus Christ, and to serve the church there in Ephesus and throughout the region. As I wrap up this morning, these glimpses into the life of Priscilla show us a woman who was a faithful spouse. She was a hard worker. She was faithful to the Lord in ministry. She submitted to the authorities in her life. She was a compassionate teacher and discipler. She was extremely loyal. She showed hospitality. And because of all of those things, she was remembered and honored by God in His Word. 2,000 years later, we're still reading about this great woman of the Word. Mothers, today's the day that we remember you, that we honor you for all that you do for our families, for all that you've sacrificed, all your love and your tireless work. Thank you for showing us what Jesus Christ is like. Thank you for showing us God's character, His tenderness, His patience, His love, His long-suffering, all of those things that we're called to do and to express as fruits of the Spirit we see in you, moms. You glorify God. you magnify his character by the way you unconditionally show us his love, his mercy, and his grace. Keep up the good work, moms. And grandmothers and great-grandmothers, you have a special opportunity to have an impact on not only your children as they're grown, but on the next generation and the generation after that. I would encourage you to be intentional about sharing your faith with your family. Tell them the stories about how God worked in your lives, how you leaned on him, and how you trusted him as you grew in your faith. Happy Mother's Day to you all. All of these great things happened through the lives of Priscilla and Aquila only because they met the Apostle Paul, who introduced them to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were changed, and they never looked back. If you've never had the opportunity to take that step of faith, I would encourage you to do that today. What an incredible Mother's Day present it would be to call up your mom and say, "Guess what? I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior today." All it takes are just the simple ABCs. Admit that you've sinned against a holy God and you can do nothing yourself to fix that. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to die on the cross for your sins to pay the penalty, and that he rose again, giving us eternal life. And then confess or tell others that he is your Lord and Savior. Commit to obeying him and his word. The simple ABCs of becoming a believer, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Please be sure to tell your mom if you took that step of faith today. And I would appreciate if you gave me a call or sent an email to the church, commented here on Facebook or on YouTube. Let us know that you've taken that step, that you want to be a faithful follower like Priscilla and her husband Aquila. Please bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your amazing love for us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the faithful ministry of the Apostle Paul and others who brought the gospel to Gentiles like us. Thank you for your word that we can read today and meet great men and women of the word, people like Priscilla, who were so faithful in serving you and serving and caring for those around her. Please help us to not only learn from her example, but to be that kind of Christian, to be that kind of follower who's all in for Jesus Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I wish you a happy Mother's Day again. I hope you enjoy the day, even if your family is spread out and you're not able to see them in person. Be sure to call your mom, call your grandma today, and let her know how much you appreciate and love her. And I hope you'll be able to join us next week as we continue our series in 1 Peter, Got Hope. God bless you and keep you. Goodbye.